This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozell for Sunday, June 24th, 2018. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about your health. All you got to do is call 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and have some answers for you and discuss anything that's, you know, even a little bit controversial. However, we, on this beautiful day, finally return of sunshine to us. Make sure you get outside and enjoy it a little bit today. That's after you listen to the program, or put your headset on, or get in the car and turn this back on. We have a very interesting program. How many of you wake up in the morning tired, wiped out, that you just can't get moving, can't do anything, and you got a headache, that just that dull, you know, ugly headache? It, you know, it doesn't stab, but it's just general malaise. And, you know, you don't have the motivation to do much. Sometimes depression creeps in. Sometimes you feel your heart skipping around. You have an AFib situation. Your hormones aren't working. Your libido is gone. Yeah, I'm talking like a lot of people, right? Well, what we're talking about is actually a condition that has to do with sleep apnea conditions. You know, your mate is snoring, or they stop breathing during the night, or they go into this off and on, again, breathing pattern. Those are the sequela, if you will, the symptoms that come about because of this very specific condition. This Thursday evening, June the 28th at 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing, we are going to be doing a presentation on sleep apnea. Do you have it? Do you not have it? Is the snoring really a problem? Is it not a problem? And who better than a very good friend, somebody who I respect significantly in his work, his capacity, than a neurofunctional dentist, Dr. Michael Chung. Michael, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be on your show.
It's fun. It's fun to have you here. You know, we've done this several times, but you know, this specific topic is one that, depending on the authors that you look at, involves somewhere between 3 to 5 million people, and those are ones that are diagnosed, that actually say, yep, you got the problem. And in the medical community, you know, the treatment is ugly. It's like, you know, can you imagine going to bed and you're young and, you know, whatever age you are, and hopefully some of us continue, and you look at your spouse, your mate, your partner, and you have the interest, but you're looking at this apparatus on their head and you say, space age, I don't think so. There's other ways of getting it done. Nevertheless, seriously, Michael, you know, this is very destructive. You see it in your practice, in a dental practice, probably more so than others. So let's start very simply, you know, by doing this. Sleep apnea conditions. Describe it for us. Well, you know, what really is taking place? What's going on when this happens?
Sure. Basically, there are two types of sleep apnea. There's obstructive sleep apnea and central sleep apnea. Obstructive is the most common form, and it is when something is obstructing the flow of air. What happens is when you sleep, a lot of the soft muscles in your throat area gets totally relaxed on some people, more so than others, and it basically collapses the soft palate and the tongue, and it just completely can cause snoring where partial air is getting through, but for others, it could be more severe at times where you're completely blocked and you start snorting, and you go through this many, many times throughout the night, hundreds of times, and you may not even know it. Most people do not know it. So your quality of sleep is very poor because you never get into deep sleep. And then with central sleep apnea, that is, where a signal is not sent properly to your lungs to breathe. And in those conditions, they're very rare, but it's usually caused after some form of heart disease, stroke, and so on.
You know, the interesting thing is this, is that you can have a combined pattern as well. You can have a central and you can have an obstructive pattern. You talked about the posterior muscles of the throat not working. You know, when you sleep, if you sleep on your back, the body is designed to keep that airway open.
Correct.
And you should have tone in those muscles. And what we have to realize, you know, from both of our points of view, you're looking at, you know, saving the patient and doing something that's very profound. And my piece is, why in God's name did it happen in the first place? And so you have, you know, a person who's born, and some children snore like racehorses. It's like horrible. You know, how did this young child at a very tender age end up with a sleep apnea condition? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about your sleep apnea conditions, but this Thursday evening, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Michael Chung and yours truly, we're going to do a combined presentation, and I'm going to talk about the neurological patterns that are associated with this, and Dr. Chung is going to talk about the dental implications and how that can be fixed and what you can do to actually resolve this thing without going through those space-age CPAP crazy, you know, I couldn't do it. I there's just no way. But let's get into this a little bit and talk about what are the end pieces. When somebody comes to you, is, you know, and you're evaluating them, do they know that they have a sleep apnea condition, or in many cases, do you know that they do, but they're not aware of it?
Yes. There are both types of patients in my practice, but most of the patients that are current patients of mine, a lot of times questioning them brings it out. There are certain types of jaw conditions, upper and lower jaw positioning, and looking at the back of their throat, I can suspect that they may have sleep apnea, and I go into certain types of questions that I may ask to find out some of their symptoms, and if it warrants it, I will have them do a home sleep test, which is a lot more convenient than going to a sleep center and staying overnight at a strange place.
Yeah, who can sleep when you're going?
It just, right.
You know, I'm being observed, looked at, and so forth. I'm not sleeping.
Right. That's correct. So that is one way. And some patients come specifically through referral or through their own suspicions that they may have sleep apnea and come to have it tested.
Here's an interesting question. And a patient asked me this. He said, I have no gag reflex. You can go back in my throat and I can put my fist out my throat and I'm not going to throw up. I'm not going to gag and so forth. Is that patient based on, because you're in patients' mouths all the time and you're probing back there and is that patient more prone to be sleep apneic than somebody else?
Well, the patient that actually will gag easily is probably going to be more prone to sleep apnea.
Interesting.
Yeah, they have a very large tongue and a small mouth. And tongue has no place to go but posteriorly towards their throat and closes off some of the airway. And those patients, as just a natural preventive body reflex, will start gagging if you try to put anything in their mouth that may prohibit even more air from getting back there.
Dr. Mike, you see patients all the time and you see all kinds of dimensional states of the jaw and both upper and lower. If you get somebody, the upper portion of the mouth, the maxillary area, if they have a high arch, are they more prone to a sleep apnea condition than somebody else?
Yes. The reason they develop a high palatal arch in the first place is because they had some form of airway issues. Nasal breathing was prohibited, and they were probably mouth breathers when they were younger. And that causes a very high palate, narrow, because tongue is staying down in the lower floor of the mouth when they should have been on the palate, allowing the jaw to grow out the size of the tongue in many cases. So those patients usually will develop a overbite kind of condition, and their jaw is usually very retruded, which will cause even more shrinkage of their airway.
How about people who, you know, my generation and generations, you know, going on, mom throws a pacifier in baby's mouth, you know, a Nook or a traditional pacifier or something else. Does that predispose a child later on to have any kind of breathing airway problems leading into an apnea condition.
That's also possible. I think pacifiers are very bad for babies and children. The way the human beings were meant to develop is to suck on actually the mother's nipples, which biologically places the tongue. Only way to get the milk out of there is to actually put the tongue on the palate and squeeze it out that way to swallow. And that develops the proper swallow for a baby. And that will carry on usually through their whole development. But pacifiers actually do the opposite. And that can create a bad jaw development.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Michael Chung, a neuromuscular dentist, the owner of Soft Touch Dental in Oakton. Dr. Mike will be my guest and co-host. We will be lecturing together this Thursday evening at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing. And we're going to be talking about sleep apneic problems, and we're going to talk about it from a neurological pathway problem, what happens if the spine's not in position and certain nerves that come into the glossopharyngeal area in the posterior palate. And is that a problem? You know, Dr. Mike, there's this unfortunate condition that is also an airway problem that is less than what it used to be. And we're talking about SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. And here's a situation where an infant, a young baby, stops breathing. And the part of that is diaphragmatic. It's a big muscle that cuts people in half. And when we're talking about obstructive patterns and central patterns, the diaphragm is also involved in that situation. Well, we've got several nerves. We have vagus nerve that goes down and touches the diaphragm. We also have nerves from the spine, and we also have nerves that emanate from the upper portion of the neck, cervical 2 and cervical 3. They come together, and that's the second and third nerve of the neck, the upper portion of the neck. They come together, and they attach to, innervate to that diaphragm. It's called the phrenic nerve. So years ago, they used to tell mom to take a baby home and put them on their stomach and turn their head to the side. So what happens in that situation is this phrenic nerve is now compromised and it's not firing. Baby's not strong enough to push themselves over. So what I'm leading up to is that when you get a central problem where it's not necessarily obstructive from that area, here's the lungs not able to open up. And then suddenly you get that, you know, that gasping of air and trying to, and what it is the body's forcing that diaphragm to work. When you deal with a patient, do you notice structurally, you know, you're looking at the mouth and you're looking at the oral tissues, you're looking at the neurology that innervates these things, and they all come from the lower portion of the brainstem. Do you see things that trigger, you know, and you can say, this is either a combination of things, this is an obstructive pattern, and that would lead you to think that there's, you know, these nerves just aren't firing?
Well, the common nerve that we as a dentist deal with is the cranial nerve number 5, the trigeminal, and that basically innervates all of the tongue and all of the facial areas around the throat. And as a baby, what we'd look for, especially in cases like this, is that we make sure that they do not have a tongue tie or any kind of frenulum ties in their lip, because that could be certainly a big cause of some of the possible sudden death syndrome as well.
This is going to be a fun presentation this Thursday evening. And Dr. Michael Chung and I will be co-hosting, and we're going to be talking about sleep apnea. We're going to be looking at it multidimensionally. Important class. Join us. We'll be right back after some very important message. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. It's gorgeous outside. It's really a very, very pretty day. In studio, a very good friend and somebody who I respect relative to his work, there's very few that can compare. Dr. Michael Chung, neuromuscular dentist, and we're talking about a very important topic, and it's called sleep apnea. And depending on the author, we're talking about up to 5 million diagnosed conditions of sleep apnea. And those of you who are suffering from it or have had a problem, you go out and wear these crazy devices, and you look like somebody from Mars or space age something or other. And, you know, it's like, how many of you actually will wear them? But there's another way, and there's, first of all, you got to find out why. What's causing the problem? And if you can't find the problem, then you can't fix anything. But we're going to get into that topic very much more specifically this Thursday evening at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. Dr. Michael Chung and I will be talking about this devastating condition if it's not caught. And I think it's much more far-reaching than what anybody expects. We're going to talk about the neurological basis. We're going to talk about the fix. But before we do that, let's go to the phones. Charlene, how can I help you? Thank you for calling. Charlene, hello?
Charlene? Oh, doctor?
Hi, yes. How can I help you?
I'm confused because there's too many radios on here.
Well, turn them all off and talk to me.
Turn that radio off, please. I turned it down. It's not off, but it's down.
Yeah, you're going to have a feedback. So I don't care. It's up to you, but you got to be able to listen because you're going to have about a delay.
My question is about my stenosis and a very painful area around that SI joint.
Okay.
I have had 3 injections, and they were pretty good, except the last one wasn't successful, and I don't know if he put it in a different place or not. He used the word facet. But he had done that before.
Yeah, the facet is a gliding point of the spine, but go ahead.
I don't know why it didn't work this time, but it didn't. And right now, I'm in a lot of pain.
Okay,
and
so
my doctor says no more injections.
No, you can't have many of them because he's injecting you with a steroid, and the steroid actually will break the joint down much more severely and worse over a long period of time. So what the steroid does is it's an anti-inflammatory. It decreases the inflammation. So anytime you have a joint space problem where it's being irritated, you have inflammation. Anytime you have injury, you have inflammation. And what the term stenosis means is you have a narrowing of the hole where the nerve comes out of. It can be in the lower back, the lumbar spine. You can have joint space degeneration, arthritis within the sacroiliac joint, but that's usually not where they're injecting and why they're injecting. They're injecting into the gliding point, the facet pattern. These, if you looked at a spine, is the back portion of the spine where the joint space is hooked together, and they're trying to decrease the inflammation and the swelling around the area. They think that by doing that, they can break the cycle, and if they can break the inflammatory cycle, you're going to have a problem. The problem exists in the fact that the inflammation, and when you hear the word inflammation, think acid, and it's causing that joint to become more stenotic, narrowed, because it's probably putting scar tissue and calcification in it. But you have to change the metabolism, and you have to change the relationship of the vertebrae, the bone, to the bone underneath it. In this case, if it's the last one in your back, it's the bases, the sacrum, that everything sits upon. So by injecting, it's not working. All you're doing is you're blunting the symptom until next time. And unless you change the cause, the reason that it's there to begin with, which is often spinal misalignment and off-centering, ligament weakness, muscle weakness, and so forth, it's a repetitive process. It's going to continue to come back. So you have to look at anything that's happened structurally to the body. You have to look at the biochemistry, meaning anything you put in your body, things that you eat that you shouldn't be eating, things that you need more of, you don't get enough of. One of the things that will cause spinal stenosis, many things that cause spinal stenosis to be worse, one is any kind of coffee or caffeine product whatsoever, sugars of any sort whatsoever, alcohol, things that convert into sugars very quickly, anything that you're allergic to or sensitive to, all those things will increase the problem. So you have to begin to clean things up. You need to drink lots and lots of water. You know, take your body weight, cut it in half. Whatever that number is the number of ounces that you should have every day in just clean, clean, clean water. If you're not doing that, you're dehydrated.
Say that again. How much water?
Half of your body weight in ounces. So let's say that you weigh 140. I'm making it up, 130 pounds. You need to have 65 ounces of water every day. And
if
you're not doing that, you're dehydrated. It's that simple. Charlene, we're coming up to that point of the program where we've got to take a break, so I hope that helps. Give us a call at the Roselle Center. One of my doctors would be happy to speak with you and further on the subject. You can just call at 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And tell my staff that you'd like to talk to one of my doctors on spinal stenosis, and they'll be happy to walk you through and tell you what can be done. But the what you're doing right now is not going to work. It's actually going to make things much worse over a longer period of time, and you're going to lose much more function. We're coming up to the break, and my guest in studio, Dr. Michael Chung, he's going to be my co-presenter this Thursday, 7 p.m. at the Roselle Center for Healing, the 28th of June. Make sure you go on site at resultcare.com, register, or call the office. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live in studio. My guest today, my co-host this Wednesday, Thursday. We always do our programs on Wednesday, but this is Thursday, the 28th. Dr. Michael Chung. He's a dentist. He is a brilliant man in the area of neuromuscular dentistry, and we're going to be co-hosting, co-lecturing at the Roselle Center this Thursday evening. So come and be a part of it. You're going to find out information that you didn't know about that can be applied very specifically. We're talking about a condition that affects up to 5 million people based on what they know to be diagnosed accurately. And many of you, in addition to that, you know, if you're snoring, if you've got a headache in the morning, you have no energy, your libido's gone out the door, you have pain in random parts, your heart is jumping around in your chest, your doctor tells you that, you know, your blood pressure is way too high. This is a program for you because all these conditions can be due to sleep apnea, and that's what we're talking about. And we're talking about two different kinds. We're talking about central, we're talking obstructive, and as I said earlier, you can have them combined as well. You can have a mixed version, which is never a good thing. Dr. Michael, welcome back again.
Thank you.
Let's get into it a little bit more. Let's talk about that sleep apneic obstructive condition, and because it's the most common and it affects so many different systems. From a dental point of view, when you see an obstructive sleep apneic condition, what does it look like?
Well, basically, when we would be usually be looking at their bite, their jaw structures, upper and lower jaw, and the relationship, usually they will be retruded. A lot of these patients may have some TMJ symptoms and a compression in their TMJ. We will usually see the oral cavity is very small. We may not be able to see down the back of their throat because we'll see the tongue will be blocking a lot of that. Some patients will have enlarged tonsils and adenoids that may also, prevent some of that airway space. So we're seeing a lot of patients, the TMD patients that may also have sleep apnea.
Let me ask you a question. When it comes to a lower jaw problem, if the patient has a genetically shortened lower jaw, is this by itself a problem, or is it one, not all shortened jaws, not all retruded jaws look the same, work the same? What's the differences?
Yes, I don't think genetically a lot of these patients were predisposed to that. I believe they all have the potential to have proper growth of their upper and lower jaw. I think what happens is that during their development, usually some form of airway blockage, whether it be through allergies and they weren't able to breathe properly through their nose, something happened with their bite that prevented the proper growth of their jaw. But genetically, I don't think they were predisposed to have that short jaw, because a lot of these patients, if you orthodontically treat them, you can actually have them readjust and regrow. So, those patients that have retruded jaw positions definitely are more predisposed to this sleep apnea.
888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give us a call. How you register for this class this Thursday, the 28th of the month, is simply by going to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. RoselleCare.com, or simply calling the office at 703-698-7117. Remember, we sell out with any of these topics that are, you know, that are of interest and controversial, and we've already have a lot of registrations going on. So I would encourage you to make that happen today. And, you know, as a gift to our community, we do these presentations, we do these topics. We're going to get into it from a different points of view. We're going to talk about the dental approach. We're going to talk about the neuromuscular approach from our point of view, from an applied kinesiological chiropractic point of view, because there has to be very specific. You got to remember, this area of the throat, these soft tissues, these glossopharyngeal areas, the tongue and so forth, are innervated by many different nerves, some of them from the lower portion of the brainstem, upper portion of the spine, some of the cranial nerves are involved here, and different respiratory centers. So when you're looking at a body that, you know, is movable and it can be subject to the stresses and strains of life, things that go bump in the night, if you will, accidents that take place, even subtle things that misalign the body. You know, Dr. Mike, you and I were talking and I made mention that one of the things that we see commonly in many of these patients is, if you look on x-ray, the palate, the upper portion of the palate and the back portion of the skull have to be horizontal. And if they're not, then the neurological pathways are no longer able to send a signal. You know, you do an interesting test, and I want to bring this out because it really sheds light on a lot of different things. It's called a K7, right?
Correct.
And you can get a lot of data from that relative to positioning of everything. And we're talking about the TMJ, the jaw, in this particular situation. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it's basically a program that can analyze all of your jaw movements using electromagnetic sensors, also EMGs to test all the muscles of your head and neck and find out which ones are straining and which ones are relaxed and how they're functioning, as well as sonography to listen to your joints and making sure that they're all in the proper position. And in these sleep apnea condition cases, we always see some irregularities and things that we can help them to be in a better position and possibly fix both problems, a TMJ problem as well as a sleep apnea condition.
You know, I know you deal with, the TMJ, and particularly as we're dealing with the sleep apneic patterns, by using dental devices, appliances. And I know there's several different kinds. Can you distinguish those and why you would use one over the other? Or if one is just, you know, not even worth looking at, or two or three of them, what's your look on this thing?
Sure. Obviously, there are many different oral appliances out there right now on the market. And we've gone through, a lot of different ones in our practice. And, the one that we, favor the most at this time is, called the Micro 2. And I believe it's the only one on the market that's CAD/CAM milled. So it's very, very thin, it's precise, and it's comfortable to wear from a patient's perspective, because it has the most room for their tongue. And it also has least amount of monomers. It's made of PMMA that's very biocompatible. It's very comfortable from what I understand.
You know, we've seen patients that are snoring all the time. And I have, you know, husband and wife patients that come in to see me on a regular basis just to maintain their health. And a wife invariably will look in and say, you know, can you do something about that? And there's a lot of reasons people that snore. But let me ask you this question. From a dental point of view, is snoring always consistent with sleep apnea conditions? Or does snoring, you know, is just one of those things that can be many other things as well?
Yes. Well, snoring is definitely a problem, but it is not 100% indication that you have sleep apnea. It is a good, symptom to look at. And if you have snoring, you definitely should have it checked out. But not all patients that snore have sleep apnea.
You know, that's the point. It's like, if, particularly in the spring, in living in Washington, D.C., our mold levels are so high. And I have patients who suffer horribly during this time of the year. And they come in, their membranes are swollen, the throat is irritated and so forth. And that's an allergic reaction. And we can distinguish that. We can handle that very, very quickly. We can tell from the alignment pattern. If I get a patient that comes in, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the phrenic nerve, and we said that this nerve comes out of the second and third spinal nerve areas. And, you know, if I look at an x-ray and I see that the spine is straight to where the neck should have a nice, easy C-shaped type of configuration, we know that we're going to have some problems. We're going to have problems with respiration. Patients say, I just can't catch my breath. Here's the question. How, you know, if a patient tells you that they're fatigued, they're tired all the time, what other testing from a dental point of view might you consider to see what the oxygenation is doing within the body? Is there anything in that field?
Yes. The main way these are tested is usually at a sleep center and do a complete polysomnography. But nowadays we have these portable computers that the patients could take home that we routinely send out with the patient, and they sleep with it in the comfort of their own home. And it's something that has a little tiny microphone attached to the nose and attachment to your finger, and it will, you know, keep track of your heart rate and your oxygen saturation level in your blood throughout the night, and any irregularities of your heartbeat and things like that. And it's a very, very accurate screening tool, and very, very simple. So if you suspect sleep apnea, it is definitely something you want to look into.
So here's a question, you know, that, and these are the ones that I go to bed and sleep all night and worry about, right? So you get a patient, they're in their middle age, and they come into you and they have a narrowed posterior airway, okay?
Yes.
And, but they've had that narrowed posterior airway forever. And now they've started snoring. Or they've started having sleep apneic conditions, all right? So is that a diagnostic for you, or is that something that said, we got to look at it a little differently here and rule some things in and out?
I'll definitely be more suspicious of it if they're having no symptoms. But certainly a lot of these conditions will develop later in life, usually after the age of 40, or if you have a sudden gain of a lot of weight. Those are things that may all of a sudden have you have a sleep apnea condition. And sometimes you can treat it yourself by just losing weight, as simple as that. But some patients, it's just a structural problem, and it has to be either fixed structurally, meaning correcting their jaw alignment and their bite to rearrange the soft tissue structures, or in rare cases, which I don't recommend, sometimes surgery is necessary.
You know, one of the interesting things that, you know, we see and we evaluate for when we're asking questions about this type of situation in our practice is that, you know, how many pills do you sleep on? Do you sleep on one? Do you sleep on two? We notice that people who sleep on more than one pillow, if their head is elevated, their jaw is down, they're going to have more of a sleep apneic potential, not necessarily present, but they're not breathing as well as they should. They're not getting complete oxygen saturation. And here's part of the problem. I'm going to get into this on Thursday evening. We're going to talk about oxygenation and why even limited airflow is a problem. And it has to do with sleep cycles, because when you go into REM cycle, that deep, deep sleeping pattern, your oxygen and your cardiovascular rate and so forth decrease dramatically. But it's important to be able to distinguish, and that was the question that I had, why I had asked you that, is that if a patient isn't getting good oxygenation, first of all, they can't heal. Secondly, their brain begins to deteriorate, and you see higher levels of inflammatory response within the brain. Pain patterns continue to exacerbate. And so you have this whole catch-22. It just keeps going on and on and on and on. So you have to look at all the differentiating circumstances, from obesity to, you know, suddenly somebody gets a big neck. You know, both women and guys, if you got a big abdomen, you're going to have a big neck. So, and that's where that comes in. And some of that has to do with core. You know, if your muscle strength around your abdomen and your back aren't what they should be, then it's going to have an effect on the jaw. We talk about people having not just a turkey neck, you know, with a flabby skin, but they have this heavy protrusion at the around their neck. I immediately go and I look at their stomach and I look at their core muscles. If those core muscles aren't tight, I can almost guarantee they're not breathing well, and they're going to have a consistent complaint of I don't feel good. I have no energy. I have no motivation. I'm tired. You know, I can only do a few things and then I burn out. And in our business in applied kinesiological testing, there's an easy way to find that. We test a muscle. This is an interesting test, Dr. Mike. We test a muscle and, you know, the muscle should be fully facilitated, meaning strong. So you test it and it's working the way it's supposed to. And then what we do is we either in some way, we modify the flow. We cup it. We cup their mouth and their nose, or we put a bag over it, and we have them breathe just for a few seconds, in and out, in and out, in and out, and then we retest the muscle. If the muscle remains strong, they're getting pretty decent saturation of oxygen, and they're getting good release of CO2, carbon dioxide. But if the muscle inhibits right away, then what we're seeing is this is a patient who is going to probably have all the complaints we just talked about. Their CO2 saturation is way too high. They're not getting enough oxygen exchange, and it goes to many things. And I'm going to talk about nutrition that is affected as well, things like selenium and so forth, that if they're missing, they're going to dramatically increase that that pattern. Dr. Mike, let's talk about the positioning when, you know, and I want to go back to that case 7, because I find it fascinating. And from my point of view, it gives me a little different look, and I'm sure, you know, we could talk about it for hours. But I know that you put these electrodes on and you try to inhibit muscle function. And and you're doing that because you want to see in a computerized model the normal position of where the saddle of the temporomandibular joint should be. Is that correct?
That in part with the occlusion, yes, the actual bite of the teeth and to be able to function properly and be able to have full engagement where the muscles are nice and strong. So we can test all of those positions.
You know, the interesting thing is that, and the reason I bring that up is that there's this long cranial nerve. It's the longest nerve in the body. We talked about it a few weeks ago. It's called the vagus nerve. It's called the wanderer because it goes all the way through from the brain all the way down and goes down to the bladder, and it touches every organ, and it's 80% sensory. It tells the brain what's going on. And so that vagus nerve lies kind of central lateral to the spine and can be affected by that TMJ. And it can, and not directly necessarily, but it can be simply because of the torsion, the torquing of tissue. And then you have other types of problems that exist because of that.
Right.
You know, we're going to talk about that on Thursday night. I'm going to bring that out, and you and I are going to kind of lob back and forth. It's going to be a fun night because you and I are going to answer questions at the end of it. And we're going to give you a joint perspective of how this condition, the sleep apneic, the snoring, this loss of motivation, all this can be affected. We're coming up to a break, and this is a great program. I'd love to go on all day long with it. But we'll be right back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard, of course. Those of you out west, thank you very much for listening. You obviously know the math. And again, a special thanks to those of you who are serving our country in the military, because you're listening, because we get your messages, and hopefully I respond to you in an adequate amount of time to help you out. Thank you so very, very much for all that you do for us. 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here every Sunday. And when we're not here, you can go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E. And that's how you register as well for this program. This Thursday evening, I am going to be co-presenting with my guest, Dr. Michael Chung. We're going to talk about sleep apneic conditions, and we'd love to have you there at the Rozelle Center. Starts at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be talking from a structural point of view, neurological point of view, biomechanical. We're going to talk about the differences, how you treat it, what happens, and so forth and so on. There's about 5 million of you up to that, if you will, that have been diagnosed, and many of you are just kind of playing on the edges, and you still have problems. So, you know, if you know you have heart problems, your blood pressure's up, you're not feeling good, you don't seem to have any energy, you go out and do a little something and it's like all gone, this may be a problem that you need to look at, and maybe we can turn the light on for you. So go to rozellecare.com and you'll find it says you may have sleep apnea, and it says register now. Please do that and click it, and we will call you and make sure that we confirm your reservation. because, you know, once we're at capacity, we're at capacity. Many of you found that out over the last several weeks with several of our programs that we have said, sorry, can't do it. So, you know, love to have you with us and make that happen. You can simply go to the phone and call 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And, you know, make it happen. Okay. We'll see you this Thursday evening. Dr. Michael, again, we're coming up to the tail end of the program, and, you know, this is going to be a fun presentation, going back and forth with you. We'll go, you know, both of us will present, then we'll grab Q&A at the end of it and see if we can help a whole lot of people out, at least get them an understanding. And we're going to have a special opportunity for them to be evaluated, both from an applied kinesiological chiropractic evaluation and as well in your office, and a great opportunity that they really shouldn't pass up. You know, as we go through, what's the emphasis that you want to bring about for this this Thursday when we present?
Well, I would like to eliminate sleep apnea because it's a treatable condition that can be very easily fixed. So I would like, you know, everyone out there who may suspect if they suffer with any of the symptoms that we talked about, to come and check us out, and then we'd be happy to talk to them about the different options of treatment.
Dr. Mike and I will stay as long as necessary to get into your questions. And it's really something that, you know, you've seen the ads. And the problem is, and some of you are on devices, and I have, you know, many patients who are, you know, on these CPAP machines and they don't want to do anything else about it. But the bottom line is, what is your health worth to you? What is it that you're willing to do to turn things around? Do you want something that is done to you? Or do you want something, do you want to be a co-participant? Do you want to be a partner in your health? Do you want to fix things before they get out of hand? Do you want to be able to really truly resolve something? You know, and Dr. Mike, this is the problem that we face in our office, and I'm sure that you do and have over a period of years, is that everybody's looking for the shortcut. They're not willing to do what's necessary to get it done.
I agree. But there is sometimes no shortcuts. You know, if it's diagnosed properly, there are multiple solutions, and it has to be tailor-made for that patient. It's not just one solution for everyone.
And that's the key. It has to be individualized. It has to be, this is your problem, these are the combinations, and there are multiple combinations, by the way, in sleep apneic situations. We're going to talk about them, and we're going to try to distinguish them for you. We're going to try to make a difference, you know, in how you approach your health, particularly in this typical pathway. We're coming up to the break, and, you know, we'll hope to see you this Thursday evening. Be there. We love you all. Bye.